The sermon text this morning is today's Old Testament reading, the reading from the book of Deuteronomy. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. When you come into the land that the Lord your God is giving you for an inheritance, when you come into that land that the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance, who is doing the work? Who is doing the doing in this reading? Is it reward or gift? Which one is it? Of course it is a gift, because the rhythm of Scripture, the rhythm of scriptural worship is from God to us, and then us back to God. We are the ones who receive the gifts of God. And then who is the giver? And we in our turn give thanks back to God for all of the gifts that he has given to us. We find a definition of worship when we look at the Athanasian Creed. And the universal faith is this, that we worship one God in three persons and three persons in one God. For the right faith is that we confess and we believe that our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is both God and man. God desires us to trust in him, to believe in him. God desires us to accept our blessings from him. And this is what he declares to be the true worship. The greatest possible comfort comes from this doctrine that the highest worship of the gospel is to desire the forgiveness of sins, grace, and righteousness. This is the worship Christ himself speaks of when he says, "This is the will of my Father, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him should have eternal life." The Father says, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." So worship for the Christian is essentially faith in God through Jesus Christ. Now to the unbelieving world, this worship that we assemble for and for here today might seem just a little bit silly. Maybe it seems just a little bit odd. We gather together on a Sunday morning, on a regular basis, to hear words read, often to eat a morsel of bread and take not even a small swallow of wine, to apply water to our babies, to sing, to pray. We create no product that is seen or sold, and yet what we do here is central to our faith. It is the receiving from God his good gifts and returning to God our thanksgivings. Worship is central to the believer's life, and has been part of the faith life of a faithful Christian since the creation of the world. We even note that by the time of Cain and Abel, it was customary to appear before the Lord, bringing the first fruit offerings that they had had from their livelihoods and bring them as a sacrifice. Remember when God rescued Noah and the flood was over? What was one of the first things that Noah did? He opened the door to the ark, or God opened the door to the ark, and then they came out, Noah built an altar, and he made sacrifices of thanksgiving to the Lord. Abraham was to sacrifice his only son, the son of the promise, considering that God could bring the dead back to life. And when Isaac's life was spared, Abraham offered a ram in his place. And who provided the ram for the sacrifice? God had provided the ram for the sacrifice. In Exodus, God gave clear instructions for the priesthood and the tabernacle and its fixtures and the place and the manner and the way of worship. Nothing but the best and the finest were to be used in the house of the Lord, and we strive to carry on that ideal today. We offer our finest to the Lord in our communion ware, in the art and in the care with which we keep up our buildings, in the decorum with which we present ourselves in the Lord's house. Christ our Lord honored and kept the Sabbath, and indeed he himself became our Sabbath rest. In Christ, then, Christian worship is a sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. As these words should sound familiar to you, "What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? I will offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call on the name of the Lord." This is the sacrifice of thanksgiving that does not merit or earn the forgiveness of sins, yet through such faith, thanksgivings, we who have been reconciled to God show our gratitude for the forgiveness of sins and for the other blessings that we have received from our God. Worship, receiving the gifts of God, life, salvation, forgiveness of our sins, all these flow from Jesus' death on the cross. Through the word and the sacrament also connects us to our past and to those who will come after us. Worship, the worship service is a bridge that spans across time. Here we read and ponder the triumphs of the saints. We ponder the mysteries of what Christ has done for us. It is not all that dissimilar from what we attempt to do by being aware of our own nation's history, its heroes, its villains, its triumphs, its tribulations. From the founding fathers who brought forth from this continent a new nation conceived in liberty and dedicated to the principles that all men are created equal, to the farmers and the laborers who established this great nation, to men like Daniel Boone and Davy Crockett. The list could go on and on and on and on, but we as Americans stand in their line. As Christians, we stand in the line of salvation history. Oh yes, it's true. Sometimes we get so focused on our own time and the own work that we are also given to do and which we are to labor in that we forget the heritage of our Lutheran faith that has been handed down to us through the centuries and from our grandparents and great-grandparents in the faith. We remember those who have seen to it that baptism exists among us, that the sacrament of the altar is held in high honor in our midst. And most of all, we remember before us those who have contended for Christ, those who have withstood the assaults of Satan, and those who have battled against the world before we took up those battles and fights. They have stood against the assaults of Satan, and those faithful warriors have been laid to rest from this nave here before this cross, covered in the pall, reminding us that their baptism is their armor, and our baptism is our armor, and Christ is our confidence. Our hands and ties of faith reach out across the generations, holding on to those who have come before us and to those who will come after us. We desire also to have the example of those Christians and those saints who have come before us so that we might learn to live as they have lived. And we desire that our most holy and precious faith be passed down to the generations that will come after us. Through the generations, know the word of life, the proclamation of salvation. We want those things to be present for our children and for our grandchildren. And to this end, we have established not just the worship services in this place and the Sunday schools in this place, but we have established a school in this community to make sure that the word of faith is proclaimed to not just students, but to their families also, to all in the community who desire to hear the word of God and receive an education that proclaims Christ as the Savior of the world, and in him we have salvation. And we seek to secure still within its walls the word of faith and make it a refuge as best we can in this world from the assaults of the world and the assaults of the devil. We seek to extend the worship of the church, that is, the thankfulness and praise for the work of our dear Lord Jesus Christ, to rest within the walls of not just this building, but within the walls of our church and our school, but not only to the children, but also to their families and to the strengthening of their faith. So if they do not yet know the Savior, they may come to a knowledge of the truth and be saved. Yes, we have a worship service. We have what we call the liturgy. And the liturgy is a vehicle for passing the faith on to the generations that will come after us. The hymnody, the prayers, the creeds, along with the word and the sacraments are essential and central to our life in Christ. Worship is vital to the life of the Christian. It's not an option to the individual or to the life of the Christian church. Worship is the very substance and essence of the Christian faith and life. Communion with God through his word and holy sacraments is essential to the Christian and to the entire people of God. So as you worship, so shall you believe. And as you believe, so shall you worship. These two are bound together and they cannot be separated. Our worship in the Lutheran Church is a celebration of the victory of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. The saving action of God through the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Lord, is proclaimed among us through the Word of God. And in and through the Word of God, we celebrate the opening of the gates of heaven for us through what Jesus has done in our place. So even on this, the first Sunday in Lent, we look to Easter and we say, "Vain the stone, vain the watch, vain the seal. Christ has burst the gates of hell. Death in vain forbids his rise. Christ has opened paradise." And so may the words of our worship rise to heaven, this morning, and may they be a sacrifice of praise unto the Lord our God. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may that peace which passes all understanding be in your hearts and your minds through the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.